Parshas Va'era begins really the story of ultimate leadership that we are trying to aspire to. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Novi, the greatest Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are a couple of psukim over here, extremely puzzling psukim, but if we understand the message, what the Pasuk is teaching us over here gives us a whole incredible detail of how a person is able to follow through with leadership and to follow through with the job without crumbling. It'd be worthwhile looking in the Pasukim over here. Let's look in Perek Vav. At the end of Perek Vav, it discusses the whole lineage of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen. And it talks about how they actually came into existence, as it were. And in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavav, it says as follows. Who Aaron and Moshe? Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavav. Who Aaron and Moshe? Listen to this carefully, this Pesukim. This is Aaron and Moshe. Asher Omar Hashem Lehem. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Hoitziu es b'nei Yisrael meres Mitzrayim al tzivoysom, to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's Aaron and Moshe. Carries on a Pasuk. Heim hamadabrim el pari melech Mitzrayim. These are the same two who spoke to pari melech Mitzrayim. Lohoitzi es b'nei Yisrael min Mitzrayim, to take b'nei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Who? Moshe v'Aaron. That's Moshe v'Aaron. So there's so many questions has to be asked over here. Number one, the repetition seems to be so unnecessary. The pasuk begins that this is Aaron and Moshe that Kodesh Baruch Hu told them to take Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. And they're the ones who said to Pari, Heim hamadabrim Pari melech Mitzrayim. Of course, Kodesh Baruch Hu told them to do a shlichus. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent them on a message to tell Pari to let Klal Yisrael out. Obviously, they're the ones who spoke to Pari melech Mitzrayim to tell Klal Yisrael out Mitzrayim. Number one. So why does the apostle find it necessary to tell us these are the ones that Kodesh Baruch Hu said take them out of Mitzrayim, and they said to Pari take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? It seems to be totally redundant, firstly. Secondly, the order of the way the Pasuk puts the name of Aaron and Moshe is switched, if you notice. In Pasuk Chavav it says, who? Aaron and Moshe. This is Aaron and Moshe. And then, later on in the Pesukim, in Perek Chav Zayin, at the end of the Pasuk says, who? Moshe and Aaron. It switches first, beforehand as Aaron and Moshe, then it's Moshe and then Aaron. What is the idea behind this repetition, and what is the idea behind having it Aaron and Moshe and then Moshe and Aaron? Okay? And these are the Bechlal, the Pesukim over here. Anyone who goes through Pesukim, I'm sure, has questions. What's Peshat? Why do you have this Pesukim in here in the first place? Why is it necessary for us to have this? So here, Rabbi Yisai is here, is a phenomenal, phenomenal sequence of lessons that we can learn from the encoded in this Pesukim of how to identify with true leadership. Okay? First, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, who Aaron and Moshe? Rashi in Pasuk Chavav. Yesh Mekoymois Shemakdim Aaron and Moshe. There are certain places that over here it says Aaron before Moshe. The Yesh Mekoymois Shemakdim Moshe La Aaron. And there are places where the Pasuk puts first Moshe to Aaron. Why is that? It says Rashi Lo Yimulacha to tell you Shushakulim Ke'echod, that they are equal like one. That Moshe and Aaron were equal. Asks the Shlach HaKadosh, that is apikorsus. That is apikorsus. One Yud Gimel Animamins. By passing that Siddur, please, a second. One of 13 Animamins, that is a basic tenet of our beliefs. And if a person does not believe that, they don't have a chedek in Olam Abo. One of the Animamins is, Animamin b'munah shleimo, sh'nevuas Moshe ben Olav HaSholem hoisa amitis, Ushuhu hoya av l'neviim, that he is the greatest of the neviim, l'koidmin l'fonov, before him, u'l'boim achor l'kam after him. There's no greater novi than Moshe Rabbeinu. To say that Aaron was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu is apikorsus. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest novi. To say Aaron was the greatest is apikorsus. What's Peshat and Rashi say? The Pasuk is telling me shushkulim heim, that they were equal. Aaron was nowhere near equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. Furthermore, I mean, it's a kashya read on the Rambam. The Rambam says in Rambam Hilchos Tshuva Perek Hei Halacha Beis, he writes like this: Kol Adam Ro'i Liyos Tzadik Moshe Rabbeinu. any person is ro'i, is fitting to be at tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, how can Rambam say that? Who just said that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of whoever was and ever will be, and therefore nobody can reach his levels. How can you possibly say that everyone has ability to reach these levels? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, incredible, incredible vot. And in fact, you know, they all put it down to Rav Moshe. I found the same vot in Ksav Sefer. And he says like this. He says it's a principle that we find in the Bale Musa, and it's a principle that we find in the, primarily in Mesillas Yesharim. He says Yesharim starts with this. He says the Hachasidus of Shorish HaAvoda HaMitis HaTamima, the very basic fundamentals of what a person should be focusing on in this world is Hu Sheyeda V'Yisvade V'Yisames Eitz La'odom. It has to be absolutely established and clear by a person. Ma Chayvosoi Bo'ilomi, what is his Chayvosoi, what is his obligation in his world? Just say my chayva, my chayvasei ba'olam. What's my chayvasei ba'olamoi? Pshat is all the Bale Musa say as follows: that every single person is born with different challenges. Every person is born with different potential, and a person has an ability to reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu in his own madrega. There's no way a person can actually reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu where he reached in Moshe Rabbeinu's levels, but a person can. Every person can become a Moshe Rabbeinu, reaching their ultimate level in the position that they actually are in. And therefore, what the Pasuk is telling me over here is not Chas V'Sholem Aaron was the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu was able to fulfill his potential and be the greatest that ever was in Moshe Rabbeinu's level, Aaron HaKohen reached his levels of potential, that he completely fulfilled his levels of potential, reaching the greatest Aaron could possibly be in the greatest Aaron. And therefore, just as Moshe fulfilled his potential as being Moshe, Aaron fulfilled his potential being Aaron, and they both reached the same levels of fulfilling their potential. Ultimately, though, Moshe's potential that was filled was a greater level than Aaron's potential. But Shashkulim over here does not mean that they reach the same levels of Nevuah. It means that they reach the same levels of fulfilling their potential as each other. And that is what's important. The Pasuk is telling me over here, just because Moshe ultimately reached high levels of Nevuah does not mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu reckons what Aaron HaKohen invested in his levels of reaching their potential as being anything less. As far as the Torah is concerned, Shekulim Hei, they're equal, because a person is not obligated to reach levels above what he is supposed to be reaching. He is supposed to fulfill his ultimate potential. It'll say famous Meisah from Rebbe Reb Zusha. Rebbe Reb Zusha used to say, when I come to Shemaim, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not ask me why I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu and why am I not the Baal Shem. He'll ask me, why am I not Zusha? Why have I not reached the levels I'm supposed to reach? Now look at this. Rav Moshe doesn't say this, but if you look, if that's a pshat, in other words, in the job that they're supposed to be doing, in the job that they're supposed to be doing, each one had a particular job. Aaron HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu had really a partnership in doing what's supposed to be brought up, in taking class of Av Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who's supposed to speak to, was supposed to speak to Paroi, and Aaron HaKohen was the one who's supposed to represent. Moshe Rabbeinu was Aaron HaKohen was actually the one who spoke to Paroi. Yeah, Aaron HaKohen is the one who spoke to Paroi because Moshe couldn't speak properly, right? And Aaron HaKohen
and Moshe.
And Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that actually took them out of Mitzrayim. He's the one who worked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take them out of Mitzrayim. Now look in the Pasuk carefully. What the Pasuk is saying over here is that if you do what you have to do, if you fulfill your potential, if you do the job the best way possible, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reckons that as if you have done the incredible best, even if that is not really the fullest job that has to be done. Look at this carefully. In other words, the Pasuk tells me over here, look at Pasuk Chav Vav. Who Aaron and Moshe? This is Aaron and Moshe. Who's the Pasuk say first?
Aaron.
Which ultimately means that Aaron was more important. Who Aaron and Moshe? Asher Omar Hashem Lehem Hoitzias Bnei Yisrael Meretz Yisrael. Who actually took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? Who took Klaus Ar Mitzrayim? Who do you see in all the pictures taken Klaus Ar Mitzrayim? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So who took Klaus Ar Mitzrayim with all the Nisim and was a messenger of a Kodesh Baruch to Klal Yisrael? That was really Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's the apostle say first?
Aaron.
Who? Aaron. Why? Because in that level, Aaron tried his very best to do what was necessary. And therefore the Pasuk equalizes his position and says, although Moshe Rabbeinu was the central figure over here, since Aaron did what he possibly could, I'm going to mention Aaron first to show you the lesson of as long as you do what's necessary, even if you're not the central figure, what's being done, that's just as important. The next Pasuk, who actually spoke to Paroi? Who's the one who used to speak to Paroi?
Aaron did.
Aaron did. Says a Pasuk, hey, Muhammad Abraham Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, they spoke to Paroi Mitzrayim. Says a Pasuk, who? Moshe of Aaron. It says who first? Moshe. Moshe didn't actually speak to Paroi. Aaron did. Says a Pasuk, since Moshe did his very best, and he couldn't speak to him, the Pasuk says that doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, he did your very best, and therefore you will say even the less central figure first, the secondary figure first, Moshe first, to show you this lesson, that as long as you do what you can do, you fulfilled your potential, the Torah reckons that as if you have done your job. It's an incredible thing. A person sometimes is involved in an organization, and there's a pecking order, and there's a food chain. And you get the boss, and you get the managers, and you have all the way down. And a person can sometimes feel demoralized that they really are quite down on the position of keeping this business going. A person can be involved in a shul, and there's a rav, and there's a gaboim, and he does his little bit, he pays his membership. Yeah, they can be involved in any position, in a home. You know, you get the father, and you get the mother, and he's one of the kids. In a family, you know, your younger brother, younger sister, and you feel demoralized, you know, I'm not the central figure, I'm not calling the shots, what am I doing over here? Says a Pasuk in the Torah over here, very simply, that as long as you're doing what you could be doing, the best possible way, that is as if you have done the job of the greatest person over here. You have become the Rav. If you're Mispalel, you've come on time, and you're trying to do what you can do the very best, you like the Rav. If you're doing a little job in a business and you're doing it in a way that is conscientious and honest, you're like the boss. It doesn't matter where you are. You are the position of the best position you possibly are, as long as you fulfilled your potential. Who? Aaron and Moshe. Even though Aaron was doing less than Moshe, since Aaron tried his very best. Who? Moshe for Aaron. In the next Pasuk, that although Moshe was doing less, he tried his very best, it mentions him first. That's the first lesson for Moshe. And therefore, again, that's what the Rambam means over here is, a person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning, just like Moshe Rabbeinu fulfilled his potential to the greatest that he could possibly be, every person within themselves, chayvasoi ba'olamoi, his obligation within his world, he has ability to reach that level of fulfilling his potential and becoming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's reckoned like Moshe Rabbeinu. That is a koyach each and every single person has. That is the first pshat over here. That's the first of all over here from Ramosha that I found as well, that Ksav Sefer seems to mention as well. Now, in a position of power, in a position of greatness, there are many, many obstacles that can completely disrupt a person, can destroy a person along his path. The Ksav Sefer says another vort over here. The Ksav Sefer says that, why is it that it says Aaron and Moshe in the first Pasuk, and then it says later on, who Moshe of Aaron? Why is it changed from Aaron and Moshe to Moshe and Aaron? Says the Ksav Sefer, because who was really the person who was ultimately the figurehead of leading Klal Yisrael for many, many years? It was Aaron HaKohen. Shevet Levi was the super Shevet. It was a Shevet who were exempt from work. They were the Tamid HaChachamim, as we discussed last week. They gave the Klal Yisrael the Shurim on Shabbos, they kept their morale up, they inspired them. They were great. Aaron HaKohen, the Oyev Shalom, the Raid of Shalom, the Mr. Peacemaker, the wonderful man that everyone loved. He was a central figure in Mitzrayim way before Moshe came on the scene. Moshe Rabbeinu was stuck in Kush for who knows how many years, and then he was stuck in Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't around. So there's a Pasuk, who Aaron and Moshe? In the beginning of the historically, what happened over here, it was really, historically, it was Aaron and then Moshe. Moshe came back on the scene. He was quite anonymous. He was quite unknown. And therefore, it was Aaron and Moshe. Carries on the Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, Asher Omer Hashem Lehem Hoitzias Bnei Yisrael Meitzrayim Tzivosom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to both of them, take them out of Mitzrayim. He said to both Aaron and Moshe, what happened then? Who became the central figure then?
Moshe
became the central figure. Moshe Rabbeinu became the one who ultimately was the Navi. He became the greater Navi. And one would therefore expect where one actually reaches this tremendous level of power in a very short period of time, it should go to your head. It should take a person and corrupt them to an extent that a person loses his anava. A person does not become, is no longer the same compassionate, the same humble, the same caring, the same gentle person that he was all the way from the very beginning. Says a posuk over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, as he strived and he grew from level to level in Nevuah, and he became greater and greater within the Klal Yisrael himself, Moshe Rabbeinu's anova only grew. Moshe Rabbeinu's anova, his humility grew. Says Apostle, even though it was Aaron, Moshe, first of all, Aaron was a big character that everyone knew, and Moshe was very much the secondary person within the roles that were being played over here. Later on, even though Moshe Rabbeinu became the one who spoke to Paran, he became the central figure, he was the one who worked, it still became Moshe was greater than Aaron. Moshe did not lose because he became greater. In other words, he had more positional power. Later on, with everything that was going on, says Apostle, Moshe was greater than Aaron. Moshe did not lose his anava. This is an incredible lesson. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. To such an extent that the Pasuk is worried that Moshe Rabbeinu could become Chalil and Apikiris because he was given a position of power. I've got to read you this. One second. Excuse me, a second. There is over here, beginning of the parasha, an almost unbelievable Da'as HaKenim. Da'as HaKenim is Balatosis, which means it was written by the Balatosis, the Rishonim, and they say this incredible, incredible piece. Listen to this. The Pasuk says, begins by Dabe Elekim on Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Vayomer Elov, and he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Okay, so what's Peshat Ani Hashem? He says to Moshe, I am Hashem. What's Peshat? So the Da'as HaKenim, I don't know whether I have a Da'as HaKenim over here. Do I have a Da'as HaKenim? No, I don't have a Da'as HaKenim. At the back? Okay, let's have a look at the back. Oh, very good, Shkoyev. Yeah, the Da'as HaKenim, there's no room on the page for Rishonim. He says at this, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. It can knock you. I mean, this is incredible. Mao ani Hashem. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am Hashem. Kloima means to say, Afal pi, even though Shamarti lecho, that I said to you, Re'ein nesaticho elehim leparoi, that you should appear as or ele, like elekim. In other words, you're supposed to be the one who's supposed to be telling Paroi what to do. Loi ato elekim ki im leparoi. The only person you are should be controlling, the only person you should feel you're greater than, is Paroi. Ach, ani Hashem, but don't forget that I am Hashem, gam lecha, also to you. In other words, I'm giving you power, Moshe Rabbeinu, and I'm telling you, be elekim over Paroi. But remember, at the end of the day, ani Hashem, I am Hashem over you. Don't lose sight of what's happening over here. Now, one second. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu power, and he says, rule over Paroi. But don't forget, they're not supposed to be ruling over me, only over Paroi. Ani Hashem says, listen to this, this is unbelievable, says, Hedech Lebowitz, Chofetz Chaim Rosh Hashiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, remember what power does. Remember how power corrupts. As soon as you have power, you have to be very aware that a tiny, tiny little chashash in your mind could feel that, oh, now I'm in control. And therefore, if I'm in control over Paroi, Hashem doesn't control the world so much. I am in control. there's always a pull and a push. The more you feel that you're in control, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls back. Moshe Rabbeinu, Onav Mikol Adam, the greatest Onav ever was warned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be careful, because if you are not aware of what power does, it is possible for you to become a Balgaiva, not only over Klal Yisrael, or over Paroi, but over me, and push me out of your life. Remember, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest person that ever was, is warned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? What position, what power is he doing? What position of power is he? What is he doing?
Giving Nevuah.
He's doing Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's doing a mitzvah. He's not a person in power. He became a boss of a business. He didn't become a CEO of a business. And he's doing a business which is not, isn't a mitzvah. He's doing a mitzvah. He's working all the time with Mesiras Nefesh, taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. We see from here that even if you're doing a mitzvah, and you have the very best intentions, and you work in the Shem Shemayim, and you're Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're Onav Mikol Adam, and you have everything together, how careful you have to be to make sure that Chas V'Sholem, you don't push the Kodesh Baruch Hu out of your life, because I am in control now. And therefore I control other people, I control the wider monks and people around me, and therefore I have the gaiva to be able to push the Kodesh Baruch Hu out of my life. That is a worry. How careful we have to be, who are not Moshe Rabbeinu, who are certainly not Onav Mikol Adam, who are not necessarily a position of power only working the Shem Shemayim. How careful we have to be to Chas V'Sholem when we are in a position of power, whether it's a parent, not to abuse that power. If we're a manager of a company, not to abuse that power. How careful we have to be to make sure that we don't abuse the power that we have, that we stay the same Onav, that we stay the same person all the way through. And this is Ani Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk is telling me, it's the Ksav Sofer. The Ksav Sofer tells me that even though Aaron was a central figure that Moshe took over later, and I would expect Moshe therefore to have an inclination to be a Chas V'Sholem of Balgaiva, says the Pasuk, no. Later on, with everything that was going on, Moshe was actually greater. Moshe did not allow it to get to him. This is an incredible lesson. So far we've said, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Ksav Sofer, that teaches us, apostle, this order. First of all, it says, Aaron and Moshe, Moshe and Aaron, to teach me that as long as you do whatever has to be done by you in the fullest, most best possible way, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, you've reached the very highest levels. That's the first pshat. The second pshat is over here, that one has to make sure that when you become responsible for different jobs, when you become more powerful, you don't become less of a mensch. Moshe Rabbeinu, with the more power he had, became even greater with the power. He did not become less. There's another incredible Chasam Sofer. Yeah? And the Chasam Sofer says, this is such a beautiful word. The Chasam Sofer says that this. And I want to, you know, we see this. There are certain people who get burnout out of a job. They get burnout. They start off a job with enthusiasm, they start off a job with effervescence, they start off a job really wanting to do great things. And somehow down the line, things unravel. And eventually they're so sick of their job, they quit, and then suddenly they take a completely opposite kind of job. You know, a person who's a nurse, and suddenly they become a lawyer and they become a nurse, or a safer, yeah, then he becomes an ambulance driver, or an ambulance driver becomes, you know, complete opposites, right? How does this happen? How does a person burn out? Listen to this Chasam Sofer. He says that there's opposites in the world of Ruchnis and Gashmis. For example, he says, for a human being to become a Novi, what does he have to do? A human being is living in a world of materialism, living in a world of Gashmis. So for him to relate to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he has to somehow take off his Gashmias suit. He's got to unclothe himself, disrobe himself from the Gashmias, yes, and put on himself a new level of Ruchnis. And therefore a Novi has to have the ability to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu by changing himself from a Dovah Gashmi, from something who is totally connected to the physicality, to something who can now relate to something totally Ruchni. So he's got to change from a Gashmi to a Ruchni. The opposite often is when a malach comes down to this world, Eliyahu HaNavi comes and approach and he meets people. And some of the people have Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi. Yeah, they get met by Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi does not appear to them as a malach. What does Eliyahu HaNavi have to do? He's got to change himself from a spiritual figure and dress himself up in physicality in order to be in this physical world. You understand? And therefore a Navi, a human being, who has to relate to spirituality has got to change from a physical to become more spiritual. And a malach has got to be something who changes from spiritual into being more physical in order to relate to this world. And therefore there's different disguises that are used. Yeah, the telephone booth, yeah, where you change your costume, it changes whether you're a Navi or you're a malach. Lavdol. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a human being. End of the day, he was a human being. He was a Adam. He was not a Malach, he was an Adam. But he was somebody who was able, at any given moment, that was his greatness, to connect to Nevuah instantaneously. He did not have to be asleep. He did not have to reach a position. He could accept Nevuah straight away. In other words, his physicality was so in tune with spirituality that he was able to become a spiritual being within his physicality. In other words, his physicality and his spirituality was not a contradiction. In fact, he was able to, didn't have to change his clothing. He became totally spiritual whenever he needed to be. Because that is who he was. At the same time, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't only a Navi. He wasn't only spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do? He had to go into the palace of Paroi with all the Avodah Zorah, with all the Tumah, with all everything, the immorality that was going on in Mitzrayim, and speak to a person who believed that he was a god. He's a crazy guy, Paro. And he had to negotiate with Paro, who claimed that he was a god. An apokoros. So one would expect, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu to change himself from a spiritual, whoever he was, Manavi, and have to go and become more of a human being when he spoke to Paro. He's dealing here with a diplomat. He's got to speak diplomatic. In other words, he's got to change from a spiritual into a physical. The gadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu was that he never had to change. The pasuk says over here, "Tahu Aaron and Moshe." It was the same Aaron and Moshe. Asha Omar Hashem Lehem who sees Bnei Yisrael Yisrael Tivoisom. This nevuah, when it came to a nevuah, that was Aaron and Moshe. They were the same people. Says the pasuk, they are the same people when it came to Paroi. They were the same people who were able to speak to Paroi. They did not have to change and twist themselves into a pretzel to become something they weren't. They were the same people. Sedech Sam Sefer, just to finish off the vort, he said in other words, when it came to... The pasuk begins, when it comes to Nevuah, yeah, when it comes to Nevuah, Yeah, so the pasuk begins like this. Hu Aaron and Moshe Asher Omar Hashem. In other words, when it's talking about Divrei Nevuah, yeah, when it comes to talking about Divrei Nevuah, of speaking, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking, it was Aaron, Hu Aaron and Moshe Asher Omar Hashem. There's Aaron, then Moshe, then Hashem. In other words, Moshe was closer to Hashem than Aaron. And therefore, Aaron was introduced to that level of Nevuah by Moshe, who was spoken to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand? So it was Aaron who was the furthest away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. Then Moshe, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe was the one who brought Aaron into it. In other words, from working from the physical to the spiritual, it was Aaron, then Moshe, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other way, when he's speaking to Paroi, which is dealing with the absolute physical, then it was first Moshe, then Aaron, and Aaron is the one who actually spoke to Paroi. In other words, working from downwards, it was first Aaron, then Moshe. If I understood that, fine. If not, what the Pasuk is telling me is like this. Well, the Pasuk is telling me that in order for something to be successful, in order for a person to be consistent in what they're doing, they've got to take on that job and be sincere in what they are. A person cannot pretend to be something for a long period of time. You know, I think Churchill said, a person can fool part of the world part of the time, but not all the world all the time. A person cannot do that, and if you try to do that, you destroy yourself. A parent pretends to be something to the child that he's not. And it's very wearing. It's very wearing, pretending to be an honest person to your kids when you're not really honest. It's very, it wears you down. The way to be consistent and to not to wear you down is to become honest. And that is who you are. Says a pasuk, whether it was nevuah of being in a spirit, in a physical world and receiving a spirituality, or whether it was speaking to a low life like Paro, who's Avodah Zorah, it was the same Moshe and Aaron. They didn't change their costumes. They kept their levels. They were consistent all the way through. And that's what the pasuk is telling me. If you try and twist yourself and you like this when you're in this position and like that in that position, it wears you down. You can't possibly be like that. Be who you are. Be sincere. Be honest. Be spiritual. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu will not allow you to lose out. You won't lose out by dealing here with human beings as well. That is a koyach. That's Chassam Sofer. I want to just finish off with one beautiful, beautiful vort that I saw over here from Motel Kamenetsky. He doesn't bring it over in the story as strongly as the story really is. And this story I've seen over from various different sources. And the story is as follows. There was a place in Sanz, in a certain pleasant place in Poland, in the Jewish base of Kvaros, that about 100 and something years ago, they had to move the base of Kvaros. They had to move the base of Kvaros. And they started digging a caver in the Jewish base of Kvaros, and they found in a caver, one of the graves, they found a person buried in priest's clothing. He buried in the clothing of a priest. You know, and it's very, very stringent not to allow people, mason, dead people, to be buried in an inappropriate place. To bring a dead person, a priest, into Jewish Beis HaKvaros is something extremely chomor, and it needed investigation. And they looked into it, and the following story came out. There was a gabber in town, a person who, you know, the first person he turned to in problems, and he lived for the tzibur, he lived for the community, and he did his very best to make sure everything went well. One day he gets knocked at the door, and there's a widow with her daughter standing there. And they're both crying, so we've got to make wedding in a couple of weeks' time, we have no money, we need you to go and collect money. Okay, fine, no problem. He puts on his hat, he puts on his jacket, puts on his warm clothing, and he goes out in the snow, and he starts collecting money. And how difficult is it to collect money for a wedding, for a mona, for a widow and an orphan? And he goes and knocks on the doors of all the gavirim, and knocks on the doors of all the people, and he pushes them, and he squeezes, and he kvetches, and he gets out enough money, the last prutas, the last amounts of money, from the town folk, and he goes back with this big amount of money and gives it to the mona and this widow and this orphan. And they're very happy, they're delighted, they thank him very much, and they leave. He's about to go to bed that night, he gets a frantic knock at the door, and there's a woman crying hysterically. What's the problem? Her husband had been taken by the Poritz. The Poritz is the landowner, and he hasn't been paying his rent, and the Poritz have thrown him into jail, and his life was in danger. And unless a certain amount of money was raised in a very short period of time, this man was in danger of his life. And they need to raise a huge amount of money in a very short period of time, otherwise, it's all over. So he said, this is crazy. This is late at night. When am I going to raise this money? He said, if you don't raise the money tonight, we're in trouble. So he starts, puts on his coat again, and he tells his wife he'll be back later, and he goes, starts knocking the door. Nobody answers the door. Everyone's fast asleep. So, what can he do? He goes over, and there's a tavern. He goes over to the tavern, and there are, unfortunately, the Jews there who weren't behaving the way they should. And there's one very wealthy man, a real mischievous fellow, and he says, "Oh, look who's here, you've come for a pint?" He says, "No, I've actually come to collect money." So, collect money? Not going to get money from us. So, one said, "Yeah, you know what? Let's have a bit of a laugh here. We'll give you money. On one condition." They come back a few minutes later, and there is fresh clothing, a tunic of a priest. He said, "If you wear these clothing, the tunic of the priest, and you wear the priest's clothing, we will give you all the money you need. On one condition, you go through the street and you say as loud as you can, 'Psukim of Tehillim,' dress in his clothing, and we will give you all the money you need. Can I trust you? We'll make a contract." Fine, he wrote a contract. This person, Nebuch, takes off his his becature, and he takes off his kapel, and he puts on this clothing of the priest, and he wears a priest hat, or whatever, in a different color kapel. Yeah, and there he's going in the street, and everyone's chasing him, laughing at him, mocking him. He got all the Jews laughing at him, and he's Nebuch saying, Mizmadav Hashem Roi LeYechzar, and saying as loud as he can. And people look out the window, and they see the strange sight of this Jew, this gabba, dressed as a priest, and they can't believe it, and they're shocked and they're aghast, and they're laughing and mocking him. Fine, what can he do? Eventually he comes home, he comes back to the pub, and there, lo and behold, they kept their word, I'm not going to lie, right? They gave him the money, and he comes back home, a broken man, he's been mocked, but, Baruch Hashem, a few minutes later, this wife of this fellow who's in jail comes along, he gives her the money, and he's freed. The Tzanzer of Reb Chaim Tzanzer came into town, and he walked past a house, and he said, there's a smell over here of Gan Eden. There's a smell over here of Kedusha. I don't know what's going on. There's a smell over here. There's something incredibly holy going on here. What's good? He knocks on the door of this man. Years later, this was. Divrechaim from Tzanz. He walks into this man, a simple man, this gabba, and he says, I walked past your house, and there's a reich over here of Gan Eden. Where is it coming from? Where's the smell coming from? I don't know. He says, no. He followed his nose. Do you mind if I look around? He says, fine. He follows his nose and he finds upstairs, hidden under a whole heap of old boxes, he finds there the clothing of a priest. Those clothing that this man wore. And he said, what's this? What's going on over here? So the man said, nothing. No, please tell me. And he told him the whole story. Reb Chaim says, this is Gan Eden. And if I were you, I'd write in your tzavot that they should bury you in the priest's clothing. And that is why many, many, many years later they found this Jew buried in the priest's clothing, because that is his ticket to Olam Haba. This is Pshat and the Pasuk over here. Who Aaron and Moshe? This is Aaron and Moshe. Asher Omar Hashem Lehem Ohitziu Es Bnei Yisrael Meretz Yisrael Meretz Yisrael. These are the big superheroes that are going to save Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. They are the ones who represented as a savior the great white hope, that they are going to come along and save Klal Yisrael out of the years and years of torture. Terrible, unbelievable. Cows on the Pasuk. Yeah. Baheim Hamadabrim Aparim Melech Mitzrayim. These are the same people who not only went for the glory, they went for the guts. And they went and spoke to Aparim Melech Mitzrayim, Hoyitz Vismol. Who am I Sharon? The same people. It's very easy to go into a job where you have all the glory. It's fantastic. He's been now appointed as a president of the shul. He had the elections, and he wins by a landslide. He becomes president of the shul. And he is very idealistic. Yes. Yeah. But anyone who works with the klal, anyone who works with the community, my father often says, if you work with the community and you don't get a sock on the jaw, be very, very grateful, because the thanks you're for sure not going to get. Here they are. They're the ones taking klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But they're the same Moshe and Aaron when things got difficult, when Paro laughed at them and mocked them and threw them out. They kept consistent. This is the greatness of leadership. And this is what we have to remember. When things get tough and you continue on the same thing, when you get laughed at and walking through the city with clothing of a priest and everyone's mocking you, that is your ticket to Olam Haba. So this is this week's parasha. These two psukim are teaching us how Moshe and Aaron worked with the leadership. The risks that they were there, and they didn't fall for the risks. They did not become a yuyish. They did not become give up hope because Aaron wasn't the central player. He did his very best, and therefore that's all that was asked from him, and he reached the position of Moshe Rabbeinu in potential. They did not allow the power to corrupt them. In fact, the more responsibility they had, the greater they became. They were consistent in who they were. They didn't change. Because they were speaking to Kodesh Baruch Hu, they became the rabbi pose, and when they were speaking to Paroi, they became this flashy diplomat. They were the same people, they kept who they were all the way through, and therefore they didn't burn out. And finally, when things get tough, don't quit. That is a time to realize that this is really the test, this is really going to be a ticket to Gan Eden.